The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Jill Lane. Just four girls here today. I love it.
Great to be back.
It is great to have you back. I know you've been in Colorado. Time flies. You were there for what, 3 weeks, a month?
2 weeks, but I feel like it's been longer, but you know what? We didn't
only
leave.
2 weeks. Seems longer. Seems like you've been gone forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was, you know, it's summer, although the summer's flown by.
So, it did go by really quick.
Yeah. Normally I'm like, is it time for school to start yet? My kids are driving me insane.
No,
but now I'm like, I could stand a few more weeks.
Yeah. You know, my kids are in Europe right now. Right now they're actually in Amsterdam. They were in Salzburg day before yesterday. They flew into Milan. They're going to be in Amsterdam for a couple more days, and they're flying to Paris and they're flying home. But their whole trip was like, I think 13 days, something like that. And I was like, you know, right now I'm just chilling. I haven't been doing really much of anything. I'm watching that series on Netflix, The Crown, with Elizabeth.
Yes. Oh.
Did you just hear me say that with a lisp?
Elizabeth?
No. Elizabeth.
That's okay.
I got so excited about The
Queen
Crown.
Queen Elizabeth. I know. It's really
good.
I love
that show.
It's really good. So my friend turned me on to it. And I've been enjoying watching that. I think I'm on episode 3. I keep falling asleep watching it. You know?
You kind of have to get used to the cadence of, like, it's not like an action pack. You know, it's very, I don't want to say monotone, but you know, the life of a monarch is not like, you know, she's very even keeled in her behavior, even when the crap hits the fan. Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of get into knowing that's the vibe of the show. But to me, it's fascinating that any element could potentially be real from that show. And that's just how the monarchy has existed over time and all the behind the scenes stuff that they tolerate and put up with.
Right.
And just how they're torn between the stuff in their family and being that, you know, especially at the early time, the leader of the country. It's not really like that anymore.
I haven't gotten into the super juicy parts yet.
Oh, yeah.
But I heard it was really, really good.
Yes.
And so last night, I actually have a crown at my house. I put it on for my friend Liz, and I was pretending I was a queen.
I love it.
And it's funny. So at first I was like, oh, they're going to be gone so long. And at first it was like, ooh, this is great. You know, my internet went down. I went 2 days without music because of Time Warner Cable out in Sunnyvale. So 2 days, no music, no big deal. Just Saturday. And it happened at like 10 o'clock Saturday night and no music Sunday. And
especially when they're by yourself, you're ready to rocking out.
Yes, it was like killing me. And I was going to read a book a day, and then I decided, no, you know, I read so much all year long, and I never really did get to take a vacation like I wanted to this year for a lot of different reasons. And so I'm not reading, but I wanted to listen to a lot of music. And so I decided to, and I couldn't even watch The Crown that night either. No internet, no nothing.
Well, sounds like a good respite. I mean, if people could see the stack of books you have on the desk, which is the normal kind of entourage. Usually there's a few more.
Yeah.
I mean, you read a lot of books, lot of books.
You know what? We were actually counting them. Month by month. I read an average of 17 to 20 books a month.
Good for you.
So,
yeah, it's amazing.
And I'm sick of reading right now. I really am. I'm getting a novel. What is the name of it? It should be at my front door today. I can't think of the name of it. A friend of mine told me about it. It got a Pulitzer Prize. I mentioned it the other day, and that I'm going to do some fun reading and interesting reading rather than so much scientific stuff. You know, a lot of the books I have here today are books about immunizations and vaccines. We have Cindy O'Meara coming up. She is an internationally acclaimed nutritionist, author, and documentary maker, and the founder of Changing Habits, which is an educational health and nutrition business. And we're going to be talking about vaccinations. And this is only a few of the many. I think I have about 25 or 26 books on that. This one going back to 1990. Well, this book is from the 80s. How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor, Robert S. Mendelsohn. We've talked about it many, many times on the air. And that's like 25 years ago he was warning people about potential dangers of over-vaccinating our children.
Which is amazing because the schedule has changed so much since then.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's kind of like nowadays we would love to just go back to what the schedule was when he was potentially saying it was too much then, you know?
So. Yeah. Well, Cindy's going to take us back to the 1960s and what her father, who was a pharmacist, did, and her explanation of all that, the history of it with her family. And with you, Jill Lane, pro athlete, health and nutrition coach, and founder of Fueling Champions, we're going to be talking about common hydration mistakes you might be making. I'm sure I'm making all of them. Mm. I'm sure I am. I haven't been drinking enough water. I haven't been taking good care of myself the last week. And I said that I was going to use this time with my kids away to really ramp up everything, my nutrition, my exercise. Mm. But I just, you know, life can beat you down sometimes. It just can. And so you got to, I need somebody to give me a good smack, you know, or shake me.
Are you inviting me to
just say,
your booty?
Come on now. Come on, snap out of it.
You know, the weird thing about hydration is it seems like one of those things you just automatically do. But I think it's one of the most overlooked parts of people's health because you're like, oh, it's just water. Like, it's just like a throwaway thing. Yep. You don't really understand the impact it can have on your health. So we'll talk about, you know, signs and symptoms and how much you should really drink.
Yep.
And should your pee really be a certain color?
Well, my pee was yellow today because I had a really good
Okay.
Next, too much information. But we're going to be talking about this, how yellow is your pee, because it is a determining factor in how, how healthy you are, actually. Well, maybe not how healthy you are, but
it's
maybe.
It's one of the ways you can track your hydration. Yeah. I have an Instagram post up right now at Team Fueling Champions just from a few days ago, and I go into it's really hard to actually track your hydration level. So it's one way to, you know, kind of just take a little peek, see what's in there. Well, teach your kids to do it too, by the way, especially if they're athletes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I drink probably too much coffee, but what I've really been drinking too much of is red wine and champagne at night. So since the kids are out of town, I'm like, oh, yeah. I was visiting some friends down in Victory Park, and we had a bottle of champagne there. Not the whole thing, but I didn't have the whole thing. But I thought, I'm going to get another bottle to take home with me. And then I drank half of that while I danced, you know, and alcohol and caffeine both can cause dehydration.
Alcohol so, more so. I think caffeine gets a really bad rap, but alcohol is more of a concern for sure.
Uh-huh.
For sure.
Well, I'm going to have to watch it. I have to watch it. You know, this is an interesting article. It's The Intelligent Optimist, and it's under Health and Healing. And you're going to love this. Bread be gone. Grain consumption affects the brain. The evidence for this is mounting. It's time for a thorough review of daily meals. And I actually bought a good loaf of bread yesterday at Empire Bakery because I went with Autumn after the show.
If you're going to get good bread, to Flower Child. That's where you go.
Oh, yeah. And I have a new one that's actually stone milled. Mm. Grain.
Their sourdough is so good.
Oh my God, with a big chunk of butter and some red wine. Mm-hmm. I was in HEAVEN.
Mm-hmm. That sounds so good.
For sure.
But it says, against the grain, how bread's main ingredient can harm your mental health. I didn't get to that, but I did get to this. It says, what's the most damaging food? You guys are going to be shocked by this. First of all, whole wheat sandwich, Snickers bar, tablespoon of white sugar, and a banana. So what do you say, Jill Lane? It says for the answer, turn up to page 37.
Bread. Snickers bar. Give me the other two again.
A banana and
a tablespoon of white sugar. I'm going to go to page 37.
I'm going
to
go with what the obvious choice is, a Snickers bar, but I'm going to say they're probably going to say it's the bread because of gluten's effect on your brain or something like that.
Yeah, let's see here. It's on page, it says go to page 37. Why, I should have pre-planned this. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
It's like you find the answer and it's upside down.
Yeah, where is it?
Exactly.
Okay, 37.
You know, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to comment about the fact that I'm pretty sure they're going to say something about it being bread.
Well, guess what? I'm going to have to tease it and give it during your segment because I can't find it. Let's see.
Cliffhanger.
I'm on 37.
Are there?
I don't see it. There's a picture of David Perlmutter, Dr. Perlmutter.
He's the brain-grain guy.
He's the brain-grain guy, yeah. I don't see it, so you guys are going to have to wait.
All right.
I'll find it.
Hand it.
Yeah, we'll find it. Send in your vote on Twitter.
We'll
put it out there during Jill Lane's segment. We've got Cindy O'Meara coming right up, so we've got a great show. We really do. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Jackson Brown. We haven't played any Jackson Brown in a while. This is like food for my soul, Jackson. Oh my gosh, I love this song. I love so many of his music, of his songs and his music. One of the greatest lyricists ever, and he's still with us, living in Southern California. I guess that's where he probably lives, don't you think? With all those other rock guys?
I don't know. I feel like he might have his exact address somewhere. You're just not telling us, knowing how much you love him.
Oh, my goodness. Well, welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Jill Lane. I love her sense of humor. She's been on the show for a very long time. Jill Lane is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach, if you're just now joining us for the first time, and founder of Fueling Champions. And we also have a very special guest back with us today, Cindy O'Meara. She is an internationally acclaimed nutritionist, author, documentary maker, and founder of Changing Habits and Educational Health and Nutrition Business. Cindy strives to inform people of true and researched health facts, encouraging critical thinkers in all aspects of well-being, particularly food education. Cindy has authored and self-published Changing Habits, Changing Lives prior to creating the documentary What's with Wheat in 2016. As a child, Cindy was free of immunizations, painkillers, and antibiotics, and remains so to this day, with a theory that chemicals in the environment and ultimately the body can cause trauma. Cindy has continued to live a holistic life along with her husband and children. You can find her at her websites, whatswithwheat.com. That's whatswithwheat.com and changinghabits.com.au. That's for Australia. Such a pleasure to have you back. How are you doing? I was going to say today, but it's like in the middle of the night in Australia right now, isn't it?
Yes, it's 3:15 in the morning or around that time.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all good.
Well, I love, love, love everything about you and what you're doing. And this is one of my favorite subjects to talk about because I really just want to know the truth. I want to understand what's gone on with the history of immunizations and vaccines, and you're here to help us today. So, you know, I know that it was very odd that you were not vaccinated in the 1960s. Can you tell us why your father, who was a pharmacist, did not give you the vaccines that were on the market at the time?
Yeah, he was a pharmacist from around the 1950s, even the 40s. And he was noticing, you know, this new thing with vaccinations. And he had read about what had happened in the US with the polio vaccine in the 30s, with, you know, a strange disease happening after the vaccine. And this was not the polio vaccine that is today, but it was one that was prior. He had read about that. And in 1956 here in Australia, I think it was Bundaberg, there was a death of 13 people, or kids, I should say, as a result of it. So he'd done his research, and when his children came along, he just said, we won't be doing vaccines. The body is capable of its own immune system fighting these childhood fights. And so I was brought up in a situation where if we had an infection or if we had a cold or if we had a fever, he would say, you'll give the body the right resources, we'll take all the interference away, you tell us what you feel you need, and the body will fight its fight. It knows how to do it. Now, he wasn't silly. If there was an emergency, he would have gone to medicine. That's not what we were doing. This was for these mild things that were happening and how, you know, and how it could help. So, yes, I was brought up my whole life until I left home and even past that without anything. But back then, you know, the vaccine schedule was very minor and you walked to your vaccines. You did not get carried to them. So I remember we were in school when the nurse came and said, you know, everybody's ready for the vaccinations. And I would be the only one, or my sister and my brother, were the only ones left in the classroom because no one had really been thinking about it back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. In other words, there wasn't a lot of knowledge about it. It's just that my father, being a pharmacist, really sought out that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much written about it. I think one of my favorite books on this subject is Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness. I'm holding it in my hand right now. Thomas Cowan is a medical doctor, a longtime pediatrician, and this is what he says in this book about the polio, vaccine. He says when it's this is at the end of the chapter, specifically talking about polio. When all is said and done, it is clear that polio is not simply the case of a dangerous virus we finally subdued. While it is possible that the virus is a cofactor in producing what we call paralytic polio, the main etiological agents are the toxins. Without the toxic exposures I outlined, there would have been no polio epidemics. And the massive push toward vaccines against all childhood illness may never have gotten the momentum it did. This is why it is so important, even now, to thoroughly investigate all of the factors involved in the disease we call polio. Interesting, right?
Yeah, and you know, I did, this was years ago, I did read something about DDT mimicking polio symptoms. And so that was, you know, the time when polio was in the US was being, it was an issue. DDT was being sprayed everywhere as well. And, you know, I look at the amount of DDT my mother would have been exposed to, and she passed away of cancer, and my sister would have been exposed to it also, and she passed away of cancer. So, it's a tough one. And when you read Judy Mikovic's book, Plague, that's another thing that really talks about what's happening with the polio vaccine and what happened in the 30s with the polio vaccine. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, and I find really interesting, in the 80s, now this is, you know, 50 years ago, my sister, was it 50 years ago, 40 years ago, my sister wrote a book, Immunity, Why Not Keep It? And it was all about vaccines. And no one was really talking about it back then. But because she was so passionate about the fact that what was happening with the vaccine, and I think there was a less happening back there because the schedule was not as rigid as it is today. Mm-hmm. But she wrote this book, and it's available on Kindle if anybody wants to read it. It's a very basic book about teaching people about the immune system, the statistics, and all of the things that were happening back then even. It seems to be more people are speaking out about it today. Like I said, in the 60s it was my sister, my dad, my sister, my brother, and I that were not vaccinated, mm-hmm. and the only ones left in the schoolroom. Now there's more and more being left out, and you know, and in Australia, I don't know what's I've been reading what's happening in America, but in Australia, what happens is that if your child isn't vaccinated, then you don't get government funding to help with your life expenses.
Yeah,
so it's really attacking the people that are poor as opposed to the people that are wealthy, because people that are wealthy can make that choice and go, well, I don't need the funding, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And we're not allowed in kindergarten and preschool.
Well, they're trying to mandate it all over the America. You know, an interesting fact, again, in Thomas Cowan, he's an MD, Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness. This is a great read for anyone that just wants the history. Based on all factual, just facts that are out there, it says the vaccine manufacturing industry is projected to be worth more than $61 billion by 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge number.
Yeah, it's a really good business model, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a great business model. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to have it. It's mandated. The government said it. The government's paying for it. Well, they do in Australia. You know, the Australians don't pay for it. The government pays it. Well, we do through our taxes.
And but no liability. And no liability, no. Protected by the government under the act that was passed, I believe it was in 1986 by Ronald Reagan. Mm. I can't recall the actual title of it, but it's factual. You know, they don't have any liability, and therefore, you know, and then there's also the fund that's set up by the U.S. government, the fund for children that are, you know, vaccine injured. And so it makes you at least scratch your head and say, wow, what's going on here? And all Americans have the right to know. All people all over the world have a right to know information about something that affects your whole life, especially potentially your children's health for the rest of their life, right?
Yes, definitely. And you know what's really interesting is that my children were brought up vaccine-free and drug-free. And they were in, you know, back in the, that was the 90s, and it was interesting. I had this one friend who thought that I was a little bit weird. And when she had her third baby, she just was very hesitant to have me and my children near her third baby. And those children, her three children, got chickenpox, I believe it was. And then her younger son was due for his 18-month shots, his 16-month, 18-month shot. And she went to the doctor and said, look, we've all had chickenpox. Do you think he should have his shot? And he said, no problem. He can have his shot. So this little boy had his shots, and 24 hours later, he passed away.
Wow.
And, yeah, and this is a serious lesson and a sad lesson.
Yeah. And you hear stories like that. You hear a lot of stories like that. Yeah. And it was called the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, and it was passed in 1986 by Ronald Reagan. And I read that he was very hesitant to sign it, and was very, very hesitant to sign it, but indeed did. So you hear a lot of stories about children. Jackie Schlegel, who has a child that's vaccine injured. I mean, I could go on and on. We've interviewed so many different people that tell the same story basically over and over again. But I have to ask you, did you have all of the childhood diseases growing up, like, you know, like measles and all that, or chickenpox? Did you get them?
Well, I had childhood diseases, but one of the ones that I don't remember, and my mother doesn't remember me having, was rubella or German measles.
Mm.
But what was interesting is when I got pregnant with my first child, they do a blood test, and on the blood test it said something like immunize against rubella. And so I rang my mum and I said, Mum, was I immunized against rubella? And she goes, no, you would never. And I went, well, it says that I was. And it went, and she said, well, you obviously have the antibodies, but you never presented with the disease. And this is the thing, is that unless you have been blood tested, you don't always present with the disease. I have a girlfriend who's a medical doctor, and she's been in Samoa, and she just said, the first time ever she realized there are degrees to a disease. Some people barely show with it, but you know they've got it because you've done the titers.
Mm-hmm.
Other people almost die. And so I would say that I probably maybe had a touch of a fever. It wasn't shown as anything. I wasn't told by the doctor that I had rubella, but I actually have the antibodies for it. So unless you do the titers, you don't know what you have. And so maybe you're being vaccinated against a disease that you already have the titers for, and all you do is compromising your immune system by not only the attenuated viruses or whatever it is in there, but also all the excipients such as the aluminium, and Dr. Christopher Exley is doing excellent research on where the aluminium goes once it's injected into the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not doing these titers and finding out, well, maybe this child's had measles or, you know, without even having the disease.
Yeah. Well, I know that you did not vaccinate your children either. So did you have any issues in the 80s and 90s regarding health in school with your children?
No, none at all. I do remember there was a policy at the kindergarten and preschool that I went to that if there was an outbreak of a vaccine-preventable disease, then I had to leave the community. So one of the medical doctor's children, who was 8 months old, got, I think it was measles. And so they went to the head of the kindergarten and said, look, this child's got measles. I want, you know, and they all knew I wasn't vaccinated or my kids weren't vaccinated. I would like Tania, it was my daughter, to be removed. So the kindergarten head comes to me and I said, has there been a blood test? And they said that they had been, it had been diagnosed by three doctors. And I said, not good enough. I want a blood test and otherwise I'm not taking my child out of the kindergarten because I knew my rights. And I think this is really important that you must know your rights. And fair enough, this was the 90s and the rights are a little bit different now. Mm-hmm. But I knew my rights and I knew how they defined measles. And it was through blood tests. So my kids didn't have to leave the community. They were okay in it because she wasn't going to, and fair enough, have a little baby, have another blood, or have a blood test. So I think it's knowing, number one, all about the vaccine, having all the information about it. And that's not hard to find anymore. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you've been quoting this fabulous book by Dr. Cohen. And I just think that what we need to do as parents is understand what is being put into the bodies and then understand our rights of these and then understand how to get a titer test and show that you have antibodies to these diseases.
Well, you know, speaking of that book, you know, and the chapter, the polio vaccine, a case of false cause, it's so interesting the history that is presented in this book about sugarcane and Coney Island and these cases that came up in the Midwest. And they were trying to so ferociously trying to figure out, that's not the right word I wanted to use, but they were just really, really trying to figure out what is causing this, where is it coming from? And if you look at the history, it's all laid out. It's very understandable, and as I said earlier, makes you scratch your head and go, wow, that's so interesting. And I think that it is something that needs to be broached. It's a subject that needs to be broached by everyone to get a better understanding of what we're doing, so that we, you know, protect our children. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's just protecting our health. And so for people that, if they choose not to follow the schedule, Cindy, what should they do?
Well, I believe that if you don't follow the schedule and you choose to go this path, then you also choose to eat the right foods and to live the lifestyle, the outdoor lifestyle, see the sunshine, do some movement, to live, get off screens, you know, do all of these things that enable our bodies to be the healthiest that they possibly can. And I'm very much, you know, I'm a nutritionist, so I brought my kids up like this. And I know people that have followed me that have perhaps vaccinated their first lot of children, especially this one I was telling you about that lost her third child. When she got pregnant with her fourth child, she said, you know something and I need to know it because I'm not going through what I just went through. So we went, you know, we went through the whole vaccine thing, but we also said, but because you choose to do this, you also choose to give your children the best opportunity to fight the infections that they will come against because they will come against them.
Right.
And I find it very interesting when people really look after their bodies in the way of nutrition, and we are an organic, real food. And please, I've seen it in the US as I've seen it in Australia, read your ingredients, this whole plant-based movement that is happening at the moment. If you read the ingredients of these fake meats, they are scary, especially the new one, soy oleo hemoglobin. That, you know, like I'm writing a whole article about this because if you are not eating whole foods and you are being duped by the food industry that is using chemicals, then your immune system will be challenged. And what we need is that we need an immune system that's strong. And if it is challenged, it can, you know, do what it needs to do in order to fight these diseases.
Absolutely.
We've been fighting some sort of disease or some sort of infection for millions of years or hundreds of thousands of years without this. And I understand, you know, there are more people on the planet, but our sanitation is there. We know how to live healthy lives. We have the privilege to live healthy lives. So why not make those choices? Make the choices with the food that you're consuming and the lifestyle that you're doing for these children. And you know what's really scary is that, like, I have a young family at the moment in Bali, and the little boy had a fever, and now he's you know, his ears are getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that the doctors want to do is say, oh, take antibiotics.
And reduce the fever, which shuts down the immune system doing its work, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's so frustrating.
And then they want to take Panadol. And you cannot, like, I was taught that the body is a vitalistic intelligence. It has an innate intelligence that mm-hmm. knows what to do. Give it the right resources. Stop interfering mm-hmm. with it, and it will do it. In an emergency situation, go to your doctor. But as far as these childhood infections that we get, let the body deal with it, because as it deals with it, it learns to deal with pain, number one, and it learns to deal with infection.
Yes.
And it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And as we go out into the world as adults, as we're exposed to more, we then are able to fight the big infections without the need to always go into crisis care.
Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on the air. It is. And thank you so much for calling from Australia. It's the middle of the night there. And you sound like a spring chicken.
So, I love this subject. So,
well, it's always
me up all the time.
I'll give another shout out for your websites and for people maybe just joining at the end. Cindy is an internationally acclaimed nutritionist, author, documentary maker, and founder of Changing Habits and Educational Health and Nutrition Business. You can find her at whatswithwheat.com or changinghabits.com.au. That's for Australia. Thanks so much, Cindy. Talk to you soon. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Benedict.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right, everyone. We've got Jill Lane coming up next. We're going to be talking about common hydration mistakes you might be making. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Cool song. I love it.
It's Lizzo.
Diamond. Yeah. She's so good on the music. She's always coming up with great music. Diamond Gray, everybody, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Diamond Gray and Jill Lane. I got to do my sponsor shout outs before
go,
we go to the first. So I want to let everyone know, too, that you can go to our website at oneliferadio.com to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter. We've got a really good one going out next week. The newsletter, it's got all of the protocol that Dr. Elvin Dannenberg, who is fighting.
I think Lexi put it in our previous one.
Oh,
too,
in our
so
previous
you can go
one?
To our website.
Well, you know what? If you missed it, well,
yeah. And well, go to our website. I think you can find it there as
can
well.
Can you archive
yeah,
old ones?
Yeah, we put them on there, yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that. All right, but you can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. And, of course, Stitcher, Google Play, all of the places that you can find our podcast to listen to the show if you missed it. And a big shout-out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Crazy Water, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorne Research Dispensary on our website at oneliferadio.com/Thorne, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And we have a new sponsor that just signed on today. I'm absolutely thrilled. It's enviromedica.com. It's an incredible, it's called Terra Flora, and it's like one of the best probiotics on the market. We're going to be learning a lot more about it, but it's broad spectrum, soil-based, probiotic blend formulated to support robust It is robust, I will tell you. I use it, okay? Gastrointestinal health and immune function, check it out. Terra, it's Terra Flora Symbiotic Probiotics, and of course, they also represent ancient minerals, which is a product that I have used for years, which is a magnesium trace mineral. You can topical, you can put it in your water. They sell it in many different varieties. So check it out at Enviromedica.com. So great to have them on with us. And we're going to be talking with Jill Lane here today, who's back from Colorado. Did you have fun? Did you play in Colorado?
Lots
what did
of
you do?
Yeah, lots
you
of do? Hiking, lake swimming, time with family, new baby in the family. So lots of baby snuggles.
Your sister had a baby, right?
My sister had a baby. So lots of baby snuggles
lots
and
baby
smells and those things
yeah.
that I don't have anymore. So yeah. great time. But I mean, speaking of hydration, which we're going to be talking about, it is a place where I have to actively be on my game because of the altitude
yeah.
and the dryness in the air, which is so different
yeah.
for here in Dallas. I have to consciously and I have to keep on my kids about drinking enough water, you know, just purposely being mindful of it because, it's, you know, the extreme case is altitude sickness, but just fatigue
yeah.
and headache. And
do you go often
cravings.
Enough that you don't suffer from the altitude, fatigue that you get, like where you typically could run up a flight of stairs and if you go up like four or five and you feel like your legs have lead
yeah.
in them, right?
No, I mean, I only go like three times a year. And so that's enough time for your body to
adjust.
You know, re-acclimate to mm-hmm. where you're living here.
Nice.
We called it sea level. So when I go there, it takes me a few days. Like the first few days I'm exercising there, I'm like, where's the air?
Yeah.
You know, and then your body starts making more red blood cells. And you know, trying to gobble up more oxygen to help you out.
So, are you healthier if you live at a higher altitude? I've never thought about that because your body has to, perform more.
You know,
or better.
I don't know that there's a correlation between living at high altitude and general health, but I mean, you have generally might have more red blood cells to accommodate
mm-hmm.
for the fact that there's less oxygen than the air. So,
mm-hmm.
in order for the body to accommodate for that, it makes more red blood cells to
yeah.
carry more oxygen. So,
yeah.
you know, I don't know that there's any research to show that people that live at high altitude, like Mexico City or Denver or other places, are healthier. I mean, people in Denver generally are healthy because it's a very outdoorsy state,
yeah.
but I don't know that it's correlated with the altitude.
Yeah, I want to go there so bad. That was one of the places I was considering going. But you know, I'm not dead yet. it's
it
in
the
future.
List.
I'll put it on my list. But you know, it's so great having Jill Lane in studio. If you're just now joining us, she is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach, and founder of Fueling Champions, which is a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents that support them. You can find her on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions. That's at Team Fueling Champions, or her website, fuelingchampions.org. Common hydration mistakes that you might be making. Okay, how important is staying hydrated, and what is the proper, what is proper hydration responsible for in the body?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, well, if you didn't know, I guess I'd say this, depending on if you're male or female and your size, we're 50 to 60% water. We hold a ton of water, not just in our blood, the liquid part of us, but also in our muscle. And so if you just think of a raisin versus a grape, well, they're the same thing. One just doesn't have hydration.
Mm-hmm.
We literally start to shrivel up on the inside, our cells and our brain, especially
Yikes.
When we start to get dehydrated. We can see it cellularly on the outside in our skin.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're really dehydrated, and if you're in tune with your body, your skin will start to feel dry and tight. And, you might even have a hard time sweating when you're dehydrated to cool yourself off. So that's a whole other issue with athletes and people who work outside or outside a lot in hot and humid weather. But we're 50 to 60% water. And so if we don't have enough, things don't go well for us. Our cravings for food go up because our body's
really?
Trying to get hydration in from something. So it's like, okay, she's not going to drink. I'm going to send her to eat some food. And so a lot of people overeat when they're underhydrated.
That makes sense.
And our cognition is one of the first things to go, actually. It's a big thing in sports nutrition, but really across the board, I deal with a lot of student athletes and even a lot of business people who are in meetings all day. They don't feel like they have the time to keep up with their water consumption. But we don't have the time to have any cognitive deficits either, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one wants that. And
yeah.
so when you know that those are connected, hopefully gives you the motivation to pay more attention to it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to break real quick, and we'll be back. More coming up with Jill Lane, common hydration mistakes that you might be making. Don't miss it. Stay tuned, everyone. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp. Happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop.
Yeah, shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop.
Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop.
Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop.
Oh my God, I love
we
it.
We chocolate crossing.
This is such a Jill song. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Jill Lane. Jill Lane is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach, and founder of Fueling Champions, a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents that support them. You can find her on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions or her website, fuelingchampions.org. We're talking, as I said, about common hydration mistakes you might be making. So is there a standard for how much water we should be drinking, how much, you know, daily, like based on the amount it is, right? Like an ounce for every pound that you weigh or something like that?
There's nothing really set in stone across any, you know, medical. I think, you know, it's one of those arbitrary things. But I like to tell people half your weight in ounces per day. Mm-hmm. So it's actually half an ounce per pound.
Okay.
And then that's just the standard. But then if you exercise or work outside, you're subject to the heat or in the humidity, that goes up. So for every hour of exercise, it's another 16 ounces.
What's the best telltale sign that that you are hydrated? Is the skin pinching, you know, when you pinch your skin and it doesn't go back down quickly? Or is it, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thirsty, you know, little things like that? Is there any way quickly you can evaluate how dehydrated you may be?
Your pee. Look in the
toilet. Oh, that's right. You said that at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Look in the toilet. Because okay. Some people might wake up thirsty for other reasons. It's actually diabetes, you know. Extreme thirst is actually an early warning sign for diabetes. Huh. And so it's not always related to hydration. And by the time you're thirsty, you're actually already dehydrated. So you don't want to be always driven by being thirsty. So you want to actually stay ahead of feeling thirsty. You don't, so look in the toilet. Your pee should be light yellow, not clear, not cloudy, not orange. And by orange, I mean like apple cider vinegar color, not tinging towards brownish or orange. It should be light yellow, varying shades of light yellow, like lemonade
or
lighter.
Mine was a fresh yellow, like my logo.
A fresh yellow.
If you take vitamins, it's going to be neon or bright, and that kind of freaks people out initially, but that's just a B vitamin metabolite. So I always warn people that, hey, if you're taking a B complex or a multivitamin, it's going to get brighter, but it will still be very clear and light in color. So the darker it gets, the more of a sign that you may need to drink more water throughout the day.
Well, so if you're already dehydrated, will consuming an overload of water help balance it out?
Well, here's the thing. You don't want to drink all your water in one setting. It's dangerous. It's like pouring water over a battery. It short circuits our electrical system, and we're an electrical being. So it can actually, I mean, there's extreme cases of sororities and things they used to do to help initiate kids where they force them to drink a bunch of water, and people actually die because it changes the heart rate.
What about beer?
Same thing.
I remember the first time I shotgunned a can of beer.
Oh my gosh,
my first shotgun on the campus of OU.
Did you finish it?
That was before my daughter went there too. I was there for a game.
That's hilarious.
But
and you finished that beer. That causes dehydration too, but for other reasons. Listen, the best time to drink water is spread throughout the day, in between meals, and certainly when you're exercising, training, or working outside.
Yeah.
Consume fluids with a meal, but don't have that be when you consume all your fluids, because I have a concern that it's diluting digestive enzymes and negatively impacting digestion. And so in between meals, during training, and when you're working outside is when you should be consuming your water, most of your water.
Are there any habits that, you know, that people have that contribute to dehydration?
The biggest thing for me is too much alcohol. I think I have a bigger concern.
Oh, man.
I have Guilty a bigger concern charged. For people who drink too much alcohol than for people who drink too much caffeine. And the second thing would be not eating enough fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Because after water, the second thing we should be taking in that helps us stay hydrated are fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Water, then those two, and then after that.
Like straight alcohol is probably worse than like beer or wine, right? Or no, it's all the same.
Are you trying to barter with me?
Well, I'm just saying. If I'm not
alcohol is alcohol when it comes to dehydration. So, you know, it's it, you know, it's just you have to stay on top of it. That's why when people get a headache.
You mean you're not getting any water in the beer?
You're getting water, but, you know, the liver metabolizes the alcohol similarly, regardless if it's like tequila or beer or wine.
What if you drink a cup of water with every beer?
Yeah. No, I do. If I'm walking through helping people reduce their alcohol intake, we go like glass of wine, then have some water, then go to the next glass of wine. Then we usually try to cut it off after that. But it's part of the reason why people get such a headache after they drink is because it dehydrates them so
bad. Well, I never get a headache, so that's a good sign that I might not be dehydrated.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't drink that much. I like to exaggerate for humor.
You know,
I'm Italian and Irish too. I mean, come on.
Yeah, your liver enzymes are primed for it. But listen, for every drink you have one or two drinks of water just to make sure you're repleting yourself.
Yeah, repleting. I like that.
Yeah, fancy.
That's fancy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like anything else we need to know? So the pee needs to be like just a nice shade of yellow.
Yeah, light, you know, really light to like lemonade color. Clear means you might be over the top with hydration, and it does happen. Hmm. And if it starts to get apple cider vinegary, orange, take on an orangey hue, you're not hydrated enough. But, being hydrated helps you stay cool. We are still in the thick of heat in a lot of parts in this country.
Yes.
And so it's really a big deal if you have an athlete training outside or you work outside.
And for your pets,
stay hydrated.
Too. Yes,
absolutely.
And your pets, be sure they get nice fresh water, nice cool water from a dipper from the well for your nice little doggies and cats out there, right?
They need it too.
All right. Jill Lane, always a pleasure. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Again, a big shout out to our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, Crazy Water, Enviromedica, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorn Research, and the ISSN. Everyone, you get one body. You get one mind and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.